Yep, I'm ready to go. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, the 4th of September, 2012. Please join the board as we honor our nation with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good. Hopefully everyone had a wonderful, relaxing day, Labor Day weekend. Weather wasn't all that bad, but a little rain kind of dampened things up, but that's okay. On the agenda, item three is a public comment. This is where members of the audience may address the board regarding a topic on today's agenda. Is there anything, anyone? Okay, seeing no one, then we'll move to consideration of the minutes. I believe we saw those last week. They were deferred. So any questions or comments regarding the minutes?
I'll move approval of minutes from the 21st and the 28th.
First and 28th, okay. It's been moved and seconded, the approval of the minutes of the 21st and 28th. Hearing no further comments, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Okay. Okay. Personnel action. We have included here on the agenda a couple items here for reevaluation and new hire. Any questions regarding that?
I would move approval of the personnel actions.
Second.
Been moved and second the approval of the personnel action. Further comments? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. On the consent agenda, there's no additions today, so everything looks ready to go.
I'll move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Been moved and second the approval of the consent agenda. With no discussion, roll call, Toot.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton. Aye. Consent agenda is adopted. Okay. Under item 7 is public hearing. First consideration of Ordinance 216, rezoning lands located in Section 24 of Palestine Township under the ownership of Lance Carson from R1 Residential to AR Agricultural Residential. Okay. So, take it away, partner. So, you're going to give us the little background on this today, huh?
Certainly. Good morning. Okay. All right. As already stated, this case is regarding REZ-02-12, also known as the Carson rezoning request. The applicant in this consideration is Lance Carson, property owner of a property located in part of the southwest quarter of the southeast quarter, Section 24 Palestine Township. It's 615 East 1st Street in Huxley. The size of the parcel is 9.76 acres. And the current zoning is R1 residential. The current land use is classified as residential and contains a single-family dwelling, and it is within the two-mile jurisdiction of the city of Huxley. Before you is a surrounding property owner map, which was mailed to all property owners within a quarter mile of the subject property, which is highlighted in red. Directly to the west and the south of this property is actually the city of Huxley, and everything to the northwest is in Story County. So as you can see, the property abuts the city of Huxley. The property is designated as CPA Tier 3 on the County Development Plan, and the proposed amendment is to amend the property from R1 Residential to the AR Agricultural Residential Zoning District that will allow the current use of the property to remain as well as support the use of the property for two horses. Looking at the standards of approval for all rezonings, the first one is that the proposed rezoning shall conform to the County Development Plan. Staff noted that in the CPA Tier 3, lands are given the highest preference for rezoning for development based on the land being within a quarter mile of a city. Staff noted again that the parcel is actually adjacent to the city of Huxley. And the proposal is to rezone the land to a lower intensity than it's currently zoned. And staff finally noted that either zone is consistent with the county development plan designation. Second, that the proposed rezoning shall conform to the statement of intent for the proposed district and district requirement. The proposal is to rezone land to accommodate horses on the property. This does conform to the statement of intent for the agricultural residential district. Additionally, horse stables are actually a permitted principal use in the AR agricultural residential zoning district. Three, that the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. Staff noted that the triangular shaped parcel is surrounded on two sides by agricultural cropland and one side by a residential subdivision within the city of Huxley. And the proposed purpose is to allow, again, two horses on the property for personal use by the property owner. This would seemingly provide a smooth transition between the residential area to the south and the agricultural uses to the west property. And then fourth, that the proposed rezoning shall protect environmental resources. Staff noted that there are no lands designated as natural resource areas on the property, and that the addition of a couple horses on the property would not seem to place an undue burden on the environmental resources of the subject property or surrounding properties. The applicant additionally has stated that they intend to plant trees throughout the property to protect the animals, and that would also help prevent runoff from the property's surrounding uses. Further, Story County Conservation has voiced no concerns with the proposed amendment. The property, the proposal went under conceptual review in June 2012 and interagency review July 2012. Legal notices were published according to state requirements, and no comments received during that process. On August 6th, the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the official zoning map amendment to the Board of Supervisors without any conditions. So with that, I leave you with the following four alternatives for your consideration, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions, Farhad?
Any comments from Huxley?
Nope. They called a couple times just with questions regarding it, and we received no official comment from those questions.
Is there a limit on the number of horses he's going to be allowed to have?
There are no limits in the AR zoning district for number of horses. The size of the parcel itself and where the house is does somewhat limit the number of horses they may have. As you can see, the house is on the west side of the property, and he plans to stable the horses to the east there.
So from a standpoint of the process, because I noticed in reading the background information, it talked about providing proper fencing and all those types of things coming in, but that usually is a result determines after the rezoning would be approved, and then prior to final documentation, are there someone from the county that inspects this? How do we go about making sure that the fencing and all of that is indeed included?
One thing I failed to mention is that there's currently a fence, a 6-foot chain link fence that surrounds the property that would already suitably house the horses. As far as any structures, for the sheltering, they would be required to apply for a zoning permit, and we would inspect it at that time.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
How long has this been R1?
It was actually one of the first cases that I had when I first started here 5 years ago now. It was zoned A1 before, right. And then in early 2007. Rezoned to R1. The intent of the applicant at the time, the former property owner, was to subdivide the property into three parcels for development purposes, and the current property owner has no intent to actually do that. So,
have no further questions. So at this time, I would open a public hearing and ask if there's anyone that would like to speak to this issue. Seeing no one, I will close the public hearing. And board, what is your pleasure?
I would move approval on the first consideration and set the second hearing for September 11th.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve on first consideration and set the second consideration for 9/11/12. Hearing no further comments, roll call. Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye.
And aye. Passed on first consideration. Second consideration will be on 9/11/12. Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Good. Okay, moving on to additional items. Discussion and consideration of the revised Story County cellular phone policy, 7-day review. Okay. Alyssa, HR. Good morning.
That's on. There we go. The cell phone policy has been in effect for about 3 years, a little over 3 years now. And after some discussion with some individuals, it looked like we needed to kind of take a look at this policy, make some revisions, so that the policy is used as what it is intended to be used for. The cell phone policy is, we had to change it about 3.5 years ago to make sure we're in compliance with IRS regulations. It was discovered that some county-owned cell phones were being used for personal use, and in that case, we have to tax the employees on it. This policy allows the departments or elected officials to provide the employees with a stipend for their cell phones instead of the county, you know, paying for the whole bill. Back in 2009, we had about 50 individuals with cell phones. Currently, we have about 75 utilizing the stipend. With just a few, there's probably 5 or 6 that still have county-owned cell phones. They chose to use that instead of, and so the stipend and they're taxed on that amount. The only changes to this policy would be that when a department head has an employee that they would like to have a stipend, they have to get board approval. And then also that the amount of the stipend, they can be in increments of $10 up to $40 for both the cell phone stipend and the data allowance. It just states that the amount of allowance shall be determined by the amount of time an employee is away from their or that they work outside, away from their workstation. The county already provides them with a telephone and their computer for their email. So they shouldn't have any need to use their cell phone while they're in the office working. But when they're outside or on call, that's how we determine the amount of the stipend that the employees should get.
Question, the second part that you just referenced, it was always our intent that the allowance be in multiples of $10, but was it not really clear?
You know, a lot of employees are just giving, or a lot of employees are receiving the max, the $40. And, you know, it depends. A lot of our employees don't leave their workstation, and they're not on call, and they have no, there's no real use for that cell phone outside of the county. They're not using their cell phone for county business.
Right.
I look at the amounts of the stipends we pay with the way we do a stipend. You have to pay, the county has to pay FICA taxes on it. It's about $40,000 a year.
Right. Right.
With that. So, I mean, I think we need to clarify that this is not, it's not a perk for our employees. It's for county business. It's
right.
A way to reimburse them.
Right.
You know, they're paying for their cell phone. It's a way that we reimburse them. All county employees can go get a discount at Verizon or US Cellular just for being a government employee,
right.
And that would be the perk.
Right.
I don't know how many individuals actually utilize that, but that is something that is out there.
Right.
Would it be appropriate, whether or not the policy gets changed, would it be appropriate maybe to ask the department heads and elected officials to go back and take a look at those employees that they've approved and
mm-hmm.
the fact that, that it's something that is needed?
Yes, I think everybody would have to justify, you know, to the public why these employees are receiving a stipend. The majority of them do have on-call duties.
Right.
There are a few that don't. And they have to provide proof of their bill. The department head could actually, you know, make them log how many calls are you making on a monthly basis for county business and see that way.
No, I think it's based on just a few incidents that have come to light. I think this is extremely appropriate, and it's, again, one of those ways that we look at the policies and procedures and suggest revisions where we find it's necessary or if it's not really clear, and as far as the use and intent. And so I appreciate you taking the time to put this together, and I'm assuming that we have no complaints from the auditor's office in terms of how this policy.
Actually, the auditor's office revised most of it and sent it on to me. So
great. Okay.
Assuming this passes, Alyssa, are we going to go back and I would hope take a look at those 75?
Mm-hmm. I think the department heads and elected officials need to justify why each employee has it. Take a hard look. There's not a guarantee that whoever has the stipends currently will receive them. I mean, that could be something that's cut during budget time, that a department feels like, you know what, I'm going to have to cut back the stipends. I'm not going to be able to. That's an area that has been looked at. Like I said, they range from $10 to $40 a month. And, I think the departments need to take a hard look and determine whether that employee really uses their cell phone for county business or not.
Right. Good. I think it's appropriate that those questions be asked and that we, forward that back to the department heads and so forth, as well as elected officials, kind of take a look at prior usage so that we can certainly demonstrate to the public that the stipend that is being provided by taxpayers' dollars is certainly for county use. So I appreciate the work that you brought forth. So at this time, board, this is her discussion. It is a consideration, and then this would go out for our traditional 7-day review and then come back at a later date. So,
yeah. I'll move approval of the revised cellular phone policy pending the 7-day review.
Second.
It's been moved and second the approval of the revised cellular phone policy pending the 7-day review. Are there further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Item 2, discussion and consideration of community service department restructure. Deb Shilroff and Alyssa. Oh, we just thought didn't we just restructure you by letting you move to a new location? Isn't that part of restructuring?
There's just one more little thing here. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
What's bringing these changes to light is the retirement of our financial data manager, Linda Semler. She's been with the county for about 15 and a half years in that position, and her last date of employment is September 14th. And so we took a look at, as I always do when changes like this are coming up, what does the department really need? And it was something I talked to the board a little bit about last January during my budget work session, as far as we were seeing a demand in our general assistance program and staff availability to meet with those clients and interview them and determine eligibility for general assistance. And so I started taking a look at all of that, trying to keep mental health and disability services redesign in mind, as what that may look like and who the county may be partnering up with to form a region. And so I took all those ideas and I met with Alyssa, and what we've come up with as far as a proposal is taking the job duties of the financial data manager and blending those with the intake coordinator. And currently Carla Webb is our intake coordinator. And she has been working with the general assistance budget and processing those claims now for almost 6 years, and you've seen her at the budget work sessions and have talked with her. So she's got the financial piece, or at least the basis of that there. There are some more nuances with the mental health budget than there is with the general assistance budget, but a lot of that's changing, so it would be something new to kind of learn anyway. She's had the benefit of working with our database, our management information system, which is the CSN system. She's worked with that extensively in terms of entering information in with clients and pulling information, and that's a system that is used a lot with our mental health budget and pulling reports and that sort of thing. So she requires some additional training in that, but has the general knowledge of that system. And so we thought that made sense. I talked with her about it. She was interested in taking on the additional duties. But then there were some things that we were going to have to look at farming out as far as her time goes. And one thing that we looked at was, again, the direct work with the general assistance clients, because she does do a lot of the interviewing and meeting with those clients and following up with landlords and utility companies when we're processing claims. So we thought what made sense was moving more of those duties over to a service coordinator position. We already have one service coordinator in the office, Kathy Johnson, and Kathy's been with our office for 12 years now and does about half MHDD and half general assistance. And we've also been working with our support staff, Ashley Harmon in specific, with working with some of the general assistance duties as well. So in lieu of hiring another financial data manager in that position, we would look at taking the responsibilities and blending those with the intake coordinator position and then hiring an additional service coordinator. The other benefit of the service coordinator would be that position is pretty flexible, so whatever redesign might throw our way, I think we'd be able to manage pretty well with a service coordinator position. They need to have some social work skills, but they also need to have the understanding of the mental health system and other resources in the community and working with Medicaid and all of those other sources that we'll be dealing with as redesign moves along. Are there any questions or comments at this point?
My question, the service coordinator position is... is this a possibility of someone within that might be looked at for this position, or is this where you would probably bring in someone from the outside and would open this up and advertise for this position?
It's my understanding we would need to open it up and advertise, but if there is internal interest, they are welcome to apply.
And Alyssa, just fill me in a little bit in terms of why would we have to if we have internal folks in.
You can do an internal promotion and fill that position, and then you'd advertise for the open position. So okay. if she would have a case manager or somebody that would like to apply for that, she could internally advertise that, and we could fill that position, but we are required for an open position to do that. So.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I have a couple questions that I have. As I visualize this, Deb, just walk me through it. Right now, we have somebody who concentrates full-time on the financial side of things.
For mental health.
And she's retiring. For mental health. And then we have Carla, who does some financial work right now, but she also handles, in essence, both the intake and the extra service coordination that we have.
Correct.
So we're taking all of this full-time financial piece and rolling it into Carla while she still keeps some of her responsibilities, and then rolling some of her responsibilities off to create a new full-time position. Am I seeing that, Alyssa, am I seeing that accurately?
Yeah. I don't know if the work of, I think the financial data manager, if I understand right, did a little bit of general assistance.
She was backup for us. Yeah. And really what we're doing is we're putting all of the financial or fiscal administrative responsibilities with one person. So Carla will continue having the general assistance fiscal responsibilities. In addition to that, the mental health and disability services responsibilities. And she'll be processing then all of our claims. And we are looking at doing some cross-training of that with the service coordinators as backup. I'm always looking I'm always looking for backup because you just never know what's going to happen with the person's situation that you, sure. you do need somebody to fill in while they may be gone.
So does that one position have enough time to do all of the financial work, and I like having all of that in one place, and serve as the intake coordinator?
She does, yeah. We looked at that very carefully, and I think with the removal of the direct interviewing duties of general assistance, that will definitely free up her time. And with some of the data entry stuff that she's been doing, we can have clerical step up and assist with that as well.
Okay. And I'm a huge Carla fan, but if you take Carla out of the equation, is this the right structure for this department at this point?
I believe it is, Rick. Again, with the unknowns of mental health and disabilities redesign, with redesign, the intent is regionalizing and creating efficiencies. And it may be, I look at some of the other regions that have been in effect, it may be that on down the road, all of our claims are being generated and processed in another part of our region. It may not be done in Story County. It may be done somewhere else. So I guess in knowing some of those things that are out there and trying to be as prepared as we possibly can, I think it's the step in the right direction given unknowns out there with the whole redesign. We'll have general assistance. That's always going to exist, and maybe there are some things we can do with that as regionalization moves forward. But for the time being, that is one program that we know it continues to grow, and the demand is there, and the additional staffing would greatly benefit helping those clients.
Okay. So this is the replacement of two current positions with two new positions.
Mm-hmm. We're not losing manpower.
We're not losing manpower,
but we're replacing these two positions.
Right.
How do these two positions grade out on our scale as opposed to the other two?
The intake coordinator is actually graded higher than the financial data manager. So this position is actually taking on duties that are graded lower, so it does not affect the current grade of that position, so that would stay the same.
Okay.
The service coordinator is a little bit lower. The actual difference in salaries between the current financial data manager and the current service coordinator is about $9,000 a year. So there is a savings by replacing a financial data manager with the service coordinator.
Okay, but it doesn't affect the grade that Carla said.
It would not, because we were adding lower level duties.
Yep.
And Carla currently supervises the one service coordinator, and then she'd be supervising the additional position.
That's all for me.
Great, and thank you, Rick. Those were excellent questions, and I think one of the things that the board has always looked at when we talked about restructuring is we take the person out and look at, you know, the process in terms of is it the best fit for the department as we look futuristic and long term. And I appreciate the diligence that you've used in going through this and working along with Alyssa again as we look at the job descriptions and so forth. And we may find that over the next few months and a year or two with the whole redesign and what this may be, is that some individuals may take on additional responsibilities and some even less responsibilities. So we will be revisiting, you will be revisiting this and then bringing forth a recommendation to the board at a later time. So I do appreciate that.
The intent is for this to take effect on September 15th. You said September 14th is when she retires?
Correct.
Yep. Yeah, so the 15th. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, board.
I'll move approval of the restructure as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded, the approval of the restructure as presented. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Again, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good. Okay, and now item three, consideration of RFP number 2012-9 for employee benefit insurance broker consultant service and the formation of an insurance review committee.
This is ELISA Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess.
Good.
This is just an item that I've been looking at for quite some time. I think I came back to you quite a few months ago and asked for to get a broker or somebody to work with to take the insurance out for bid, not just the health insurance, the life, the disability, the other ancillary products that we offer our employees. We currently go through ISAC, which is a good group to go through as far as our insurance. We have a small pool of employees, so our rates are a little bit higher than some of the other groups because it's based on our usage. There are some different products out there, health savings accounts, higher deductible plans that we could put on the table for our employees to give them more choices. We can't with this, when we take it out for bid, we can't get Wellmark will not bid on us, but there are some other carriers of insurance that we could see. I did talk to quite a few other counties. I think Dubuque County uses ISAC, but they also have three or four other carriers that they do give their employees a choice. This is probably the easiest way instead of dealing with the insurance companies directly and sending an RFP out, just them utilizing a broker would benefit us. I just don't have the manpower or the time to work directly with the company, so this would assist.
Questions?
This is something we've been talking about for, well, the whole time we've been on the board.
Almost 2 years.
And I know when we brought Alyssa in, this was one of the things that we asked her to evaluate, and we had a lot of things at the top of the heap to work through, and so I'm appreciative that we're finally here where we can have this conversation. I think it's the right thing for us to do. I mean, even if at the end of the day we find out we're exactly where we need to be, we're still going to have more information than we have right now, and we're going to have taken a hard look at it. So I'm in favor of it. Now, something I would want to make sure of is talk a little bit about how we're going to notify brokers who may be interested. Are we just going to put out an RFP and run an ad in the paper? I don't want anybody to come back to us and say, oh, well, I didn't know about this. I want any and all comers who have interest to provide a proposal, because that was one of the concerns that I've heard time and again is, well, we've never had an opportunity to bid on this or tell you what we could do. If we're going to go through this, let's make sure we notify everybody and we go through it. So can you address that just a little
bit? Yes, we do have a place on our website that we can put the information out there. I think that's a good option. I had not considered putting it in the paper. That does cost quite a bit, and I don't know how many people it would reach. I have a number of people that have contacted me directly, and I told them when this went out that I would notify them that this is out there.
Yeah, and I think that was the question that I was on piggyback on. Is I know over the last year and a half, we've had several inquiries, and so we've got those contacts, and so that would be, probably our due diligence to notify them and so forth. But I'm not so sure if we necessarily need to.
Yeah, and most of the time, Wayne, I'm right there with you that you got a high hurdle to get to convince me to spend dollars to notify people when really it's their job. But this is one of those cases where, just speaking for me, I want to be able to point to something and say, wait a minute, we worked hard to notify everybody. We put it here in these public forums, and if you missed it, sorry you missed it. And my fear is if we just do it on our website, that looks a little, I mean, it's fair public notification, but it looks a little like we didn't take that extra step to really notify. And so this is one of the cases where.
And I don't know with our other RFPs if we put them in the paper. I know with the website, they just put it on the internet, and they the companies that are looking for this check that. I can check and see if there is a. I don't know if they belong to an organization, if the brokers all, if they. They have anything that we could, advertise it on there. I can check with a couple just to see if there's, a website like that. We can put it in the paper. I can try to figure out, what the cost would be for that.
Well, I'm all in favor of you looking at the cost, but this is probably where I disagree a little bit with Supervisor Sanders. I think his concern is very appropriate. There's no question about it. But I do think that, again, here is an area that going through the RFP process that we could utilize that, and knowing how well the Tribune and others cover our thing, this story will at least appear out there, so there's another potential interest right there. But even there, and it raises another question. You know, a lot of times when you go for requests for proposals, the county oftentimes has when we receive those, whether or not we can reject any of them or have to look at them, have we thought through that process? What happens once we receive those requests?
It's all spelled out in the evaluation.
It's all spelled out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And that's why I asked for also for forming a committee.
I saw, yeah.
So there's a few people, so we have union, non-union.
Right,
get the employees
exactly.
involved. Right. That way when we get down to actually looking at some different products, we do have some employee input on that.
Well, the proposal that you're bringing to us talks about going out for a broker consultant service, the RFP, for this type of information, but it's also the second part is as a formation of an insurance review committee. Could you talk a little bit about this committee and how you view that at this point in time and what their role would be?
Yeah, I think in the past they had an insurance task force, and then they would review, you know, do an annual review of the products and look at things and whether it was taken out for bid, and they would bring recommendations to the board. That hasn't been to affect my understanding for quite some time. So with looking at this, with looking at all the changes that might occur down the road because of healthcare reform, I think it's important that we do have a group that can, you know, review everything. So it's not just, you know, the HR department is bringing these recommendations to the board. Really good employee involvement. I think that helps in situations like this. If there are any changes, healthcare reform, I don't know how it's going to impact everything here at this point until, you know, everything goes into effect in 2014. But that can all change too in the next 6 months. So,
how large of a committee are you envisioning that we would need to consider?
I would say 5 to 7 individuals. You get much larger than that. It's really tough to get stuff done in a timely fashion. I would say just, you know, a small committee.
Right. Now, I would assume that the EAC, which has been one of the committees that other than the Employee Assistance Group, may end up having at least one or two active members. But however, what about some of those other employees who are not active as on the EAC committee itself? So this would be open for consideration for almost all of our employees. So have we thought about how we would go about selecting interests as to who might be willing to serve in this committee?
You know, I have thought of that. I thought we could send an email out to the elected officials and departments, and they could see if there's any interest. We wouldn't need one from every department or elected official. I would want some that carry the insurance, and I would want some that don't carry the insurance so that we don't have all. You know, we do need at least probably one from every union if they want to send representation. Some employees are not going to be interested. Others you're going to have. I have had a few call me over the last year and say, you know what, if you ever bring this committee back, I would really like to be a part of that.
Well, because of the nature of this committee and what it entails and giving us guidance and future direction, Mr. Toot over here, as our supervisor, has spent many years in negotiation with the union in his former position as a deputy, and I would like to see at least consideration of a board representative on this committee, and I think he would be a perfect person to have that connectivity as we go through the process. But I didn't know whether you thought, what were your thoughts regarding whether or not it would be appropriate to have a board member represented on that committee?
I think that's probably a good idea. We can only obviously have one board member on there, so we don't.
Well, you wouldn't be there all by yourself as being the bad guy.
I don't see this as being bad.
I know. I'd be using that.
No, I think that's probably a good idea. You know, and we might have a lot of people interested and have to cut it down.
Right.
Because, like I said, I don't want 30 people on the committee. But we might not have very much interest either. It's really hard to tell.
you know, a lot of individuals don't feel like they have time to serve on a committee. So
that's true. That's true. Good. Any other questions for our listeners at this time?
If we approve the RFP today, would it be appropriate to ask you to just check and see what it would cost? I want to know it's in the paper.
Yep.
Journal and the Trib. Just, and then, you know, next week let us know what that is, and we can decide if that's the money that we want to spend on this or not. So,
yeah. You want me to send the RFP out today, like we were, if it's approved, but then publish
that,
it?
That would be my suggestion, and let us know next week what it would cost to advertise for it, and then, because the deadline is the 25th, was that it?
There's no, it's
October 2nd.
October 2nd.
Okay. So there's time. Mm-hmm.
And I would just piggyback on that, Alyssa, and ask, I thought your idea of looking in to see if there's any kind of association where we can get in front of these people. Again, my concern, and Wayne, I don't disagree with you, but my concern is that at the end of the day, we're going to have somebody who's going to say, well, I didn't know about it. I would have bid, and I want to be able to point to something hard and fast and say, wait a minute, we took every reasonable step to get this out to you. So I'm going to be really interested in the cost, but also if there's an association that we can send this through, it makes a lot of sense to me. And with that, I would move that we approve and distribute RFP 2012-9.
Second.
It's been moved and second the approval of consideration of RFP 2012-9 for the Employee Benefit Insurance Broker Consultant. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We'll see what we get.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Good. Thank you, Alyssa. Okay. Item 4, consideration of resolution 1316 of the final subdivision plat of Adams Macy subdivision located on lands under the ownership of Adam Macy, Inc., of Section 14, Howard Township. Charlie?
Do you have copies of the plat? Do you have copies of the plat? Are those? Have you seen them? I'll get them real quick.
Yep.
Yep, the plat. Yo, great. Thank you.
All right. Good morning.
Morning.
As you mentioned, this is case SUB 0612. It's the Adams and Macy subdivision plat, and I don't have a presentation because this is a pretty simple one. So you'll see on the plat there, we are involving two tax parcels here. They're roughly about 30 to 35 acre parcels. The current division line runs north to south. You'll see there's kind of a natural physical barrier there with the trail, the old railroad bed. However, the combination north and south actually lead to one legal parcel at this time. What the landowners want to do is they want to sell the portion north of the trail to the landowner north of there, keep the portion on the south of the trail to themselves. This first came through as a plot of survey, and we let them know just because of that trail being there, it's always been a legal mess in this area, and we'd have to do it as a subdivision plat. With them doing the subdivision plat, they decided at the same time to also bring the acreage, the farmstead area, out as an individual lot too. And I'm not sure if their plans are to sell that sooner or later or what, but nonetheless, it's a three-lot subdivision, one being the farmstead, one being the area north of the trail, and the rest of it being the farm ground south of the trail there. So pretty simple. The only two notes we made on the plat where there's an accessory structure on that farmstead lot towards the back, and just because of the scale of the plat, it was really hard to tell how far that was set back. Our regulations require a 2-foot setback on those accessory structures. We did check with the surveyor, and he did clarify that that was a 2-foot setback, so we're not going to be creating any non-conforming lots here. The only other thing was is we asked the surveyor to put the E911 address for lot, the farmstead lot, I think that's lot 3, but we asked them to put the E911 address on the plat just so in the future, if it ever came up, it was easy to find. So other than that, everything else was conforming to our regulations. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. No, I don't have any at this time.
I'll move approval of Resolution 1316.
Second.
It's been moved and second the approval of Resolution 1316. Is there further discussion? Hearing none. 2.
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton? Aye. Resolution 1316 is adopted. Thank you. Okay, item 9, no other reports, agency reports, none. Departmental report, planning and zoning, Charlie, did either one of you guys want to do this for Leanne, and she just wants us to defer this to a later time? All right, sounds like a winner. I think we can certainly do that. We'll move it to a later date. All right. Item 12, liaison assignments and updates. Anything, Paul? Rick?
Had a nice visit with our friends up in Ziering middle of last week. Yeah, there's lots of excitement about pushing ahead on the project at Dakin's Lake. You know, there were some concerns about an individual who bought a aluminum smelter and what they were going to do with it. It sounds like that's been resolved, but always nice to visit our friends up in the northeast corner of Story County.
Great. All right. Nothing. I have nothing to report. Okay. Public forum number 2. This is comments where members of the audience may address the board regarding items not on today's agenda, but may do. We may take a look at it in the future. Is there anyone that we'll talk about another item of concern? Okay, seeing no one, then we'll move on. Announcements from the supervisors.
I'll be absent next Tuesday.
Okay.
Rick, we'll miss you. You can carry on without me, though, I'm sure.
We might be able to muddle through.
Okay.
All righty. Sounds good. All right, pass. Okay.
Move adjournment.
Second.
Been moved and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Adjourned.